Go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the knights!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris, I'm here in person with
Sam
and Sean.
And on Skype we have
John.
Well, usually we start off with Star Wars trivia. And again, it's another week where we don't have additional trivia. So we just have a picture of the guy from Captain America Civil War on a comic book calendar.
That we can't remember his name.
I forget his name.
I'm blanking on the name.
It's on the tip of my tongue, too.
Oh, man.
I'm going to call him the auctioneer from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, the second half of the worst movie of 2018.
Toby Jones.
Yes.
Well,
he's the Tobester.
Well, anyway.
Zola.
Zola, okay.
Dr. Zola.
Yep. Like Gorgonzola.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see Zemo was the first game to mind, but I'm like,
yeah,
that's not.
It's a Z word,
not
but.
Right.
Yeah, Zola.
Well,
wait, the bad guy in Captain America?
Yeah, remember the Nazi scientist who
he was
dies
in the first, yeah.
in the first
America.
One, but he comes
yeah.
back on the computer?
Okay.
It's that. Yeah, yeah. It's his comic version. His comic version is like a robot with his stomach. Like, think Krang from the Ninja Turtles. Like how they're like, there's a face in
how
the guy's stomach.
Dare you loop never those two it. Together?
Why? They're kind
how
of in the same
you?
Universe.
Krang will always be the best.
Well, yeah.
Headless. Monster.
Wait, what's the name of what's his name? Nicholas Brewer, Daniel Brewer, whatever. Who's he in that? I thought he's like Zola.
No, Nicholas Brewer. Oh, from the first one.
No, in Civil War.
Civil War. Nicholas.
The bad guy.
Oh, that's Helmut. Zemo.
Oh, Helmut Zemo. That in Civil War, yeah. We were talking. Sorry, I don't. We might have said Civil War. We meant Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Which all severe right. well, lack of bag over his head in that movie.
Yes, right. He needs that sack, like a like a purple tube sock with eyes cut out.
Yeah,
that's what he needs, and a little crest.
He didn't need a lot.
No, I was fine with his portrayal.
Okay, let's go on. So last week we just started talking about how Oscar season is upon us, and we have yet to see all the Best Picture movies. But
we're working on it.
We're going to try and chop that down a little bit, and then discuss at least one a week. This week is going to be A Star Is Born, and Sean and John are actually going to discuss that.
Yay!
I saw a few, but I'm just going to give you scores. And I'm not going to review anything until we all watch a bunch. We can discuss
all right.
it. All
right, give us some scores.
Why don't you just wait for the scores then?
Yeah, that's
okay, fine. Then I'll save those and then update the ones that you guys have already watched.
Oh, yeah, the things that we've already talked about. So we got Aquaman. Aquaman you finally saw. Just give a quick, like, two-sentence review.
Well,
all
right, give me a second. So after this...
You can give us a hit on Aquaman. Go for it, dude.
Well, okay, I'll give you a hit on Aquaman real quick. Right. But for the rest of the episode, it's going to be Fire Festival, both the Netflix and the Hulu.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that
as
a whole. And that should take a little while. And then there's news after that.
Yep.
So that's going to be tonight's episode. But first what we're going to do, Aquaman.
Yes.
So saw that in theaters. It was date night. And I don't know why, but it was the only one available. But she didn't want to see The Favorite. I wanted to see that. But anyway, score 7-3.
Ooh,
which I think is the highest.
It is by point.
What did I give it?
7-2.
Okay. Ah, right.
So, initial thoughts on that one? I mean, it's problem number one. Who's the idiot who decides to shoot a like an M204 or whatever it is grenade launcher
right.
in a submarine?
Right.
It just, and not to mention, why is the blast so restricted to just his chest? You know.
But did you see that chest?
Yeah, and it's just, I'm trying to get over, like, the CGI was, oh, God, it was bad. Well,
it was not great at times.
I don't know, it was not great at times, but it was just too much. It was literally 97% of the movie was CGI.
Yeah.
True, but they're doing it underwater, so.
Yeah, okay, and I don't know how I felt about the whole, I was trying to see all the CGI and, like, all right, well, this doesn't look too bad, but I was more concerned about, like, why does the hair look like this all the time?
Yeah.
It's always
and then, you know, because Dolph Lundgren was in this movie, aka, like, awesome that Dolph Lundgren is still doing work.
Yeah, Lundgren needs more work.
He did. He was in Arrow.
That's Dr. Dolph Lundgren, too.
Sorry, no, yes.
I'm sorry. Anyway, his just it was weird seeing him. I should have been more excited, but I was way too busy focusing on his hair. Let's see. I don't want to say this huge plot holes, but there's a lot of like leniences. Like, how did they get from the desert to Italy or wherever they were?
Or Greece, I believe.
Greece.
Is it Greece?
How did they get there?
Uber.
They made it a real big point as to point out how they were in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and then
they jumped out of a plane. That's the only way to get there. So what did they do?
Speaking of that scene, like, how disappointing was it that the Pitbull song was like that short?
Yeah, 15 seconds.
It was really shoehorned in.
Yeah, like
it really was.
Honestly, I didn't even notice it. Honestly, didn't even notice. I'm not gonna lie, guys. I was half asleep throughout this whole movie. My wife fell asleep.
So it was riveting, is what you're telling.
Yeah, my wife fell asleep 2/3 of the way in. Definitely missed the end. Granted, you didn't miss much.
You didn't see the giant Kraken creature?
No, I saw that.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that was...
You mean Gravemind?
That was interesting. Weird.
Still not sure if they're the same creature, though, Sam. Seriously. They showed the bunch of tentacles with, like, teeth on the end when he's talking to it.
It's...
And then the next time you see
they never point
the...
it out, but I right. feel like juxtapositionally, like... Yeah, that's like, Sam, where else would he get a giant sea monster?
Sam, this is a DC film. You're putting too many big words in trying to describe this film.
Okay, here's another problem. I didn't like the better part of, what was the first, the Justice League thing? Justice League. Wow, it's been a long day. Been a long day. Well, anyway, the better part of that was the very brosif, bro beans, bromance of Aquaman.
Yeah,
how he's all broed out. My man,
I dig it. Yeah.
And you didn't get that much.
That's true.
They toned it down. I kind of liked it a little bit. It would have been more fun if he was hardcore broed out.
Yeah.
But aside from that, the movie was not. It was not like good. It was not a good movie.
No.
But it was, I actually kind of enjoyed watching it to the point where if this is on TNT or something on the weekend, sure. Why not?
Are you okay with the 2.5 hour time?
No, stamp? No. It 1 hour 45 minutes.
Yeah,
easily.
I feel like a lot you could
easily.
Chop out of that.
You
movie.
Could have chopped out the whole desert scene.
You could have chopped out all of Black Manta.
That is valid.
To be honest, they could honestly cut out Dolph Lundgren too. He's kind of pointless in this movie.
Yeah, we didn't stay for any credits or anything.
Oh,
after
the post credit is so you know that the Asian doctor guy who believes in Atlantis, he ended up he's like on TV a couple times, like, oh, Atlantis is real.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Well, the end post credit is him nursing Black Manta back to health, and Black Manta's like, I can show you evidence. And he's like, oh, that's cool.
Okay.
And that's literally it. And I think there's a picture of, like, Wonder Woman on the wall.
So, right at the beginning, I almost dropped my shit. Was not interested in this movie at all. Because the whole... I'm like, okay, I know this is going to be CGI. But then there's the fight with... what's her face? The mom.
Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman and the
was it Atlanta?
The Atlanteans come out on the lighthouse and they attack the house trying to take her and... I'm assuming, like, kill the family or whatever it was. And then just that fight scene was just like, all right, I'm done. There's I'm not thinking about this movie as an actual piece of cinema.
No,
this
yeah,
is
no.
Just,
it's
no.
Just...
this is just going to be nuts throughout the rest of the movie. Not to mention, Willem Dafoe, he looked more CGI than actually, like, green-suited.
His face looked weird.
Yeah. And then it was strange because we're working... I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys. They definitely... Okay, so I'm like, Willem Dafoe looks pretty good because he looks thin, he looks fit and stuff. And then at the end of the movie, they showed like a back shot of him and he's wearing the skin tight thing. And I'm like, that's way too much back fat for him to be that skinny. That's way too much. They must have trimmed him down.
Back.
They trimmed him down a little bit because it was just, I don't know. It was weird.
William Dafoe nut.
I'm not going to Stop.
Jesus Christ. I'm not gonna say
was that don't a do fat another joke? One, but
yeah.
Oh, this is long and Aquaman. All right. We're moving on.
All right.
Speaking of a movie that I will not watch again on TNT, First Reformed.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think we're going to discuss it.
It's not up for any of the major awards. I don't even know if it's up for any awards.
It's up for actor, some. I think.
No, Ethan Hawke.
It's
Hawks,
not Ethan
no.
Hawke? Original screenplay.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, screenplay. Original screenplay?
It's screenplay,
okay.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, it's about this priest who has a run-in with this young couple who's about to have a kid, but one's a religious goer, religious follower, and then there's another one who's became an environmentalist, like an extremist environmentalist. Okay. So it's pretty much just the story of his interaction with them,
okay,
and how all this stuff kind of combines into one like culmination of a thing that never happens. So, I don't want to spoil anything, but if you're looking for a conclusion to a movie, you're not going to get it.
Oh, so it's an open-ended ending?
One of the most open-ended movies I've ever seen.
More than Three Billboards?
On par.
Okay.
On par with that, yeah.
All right, so I see where this review is going.
But that said, this movie as a whole was very, very mediocre. Ethan Hawke, though, great. I thought he was great in this. He plays a middle-aged, 45-ish-year-old priest who has had a tough life and was in the military and is ill. And it's just him going about being a priest in a church that has maybe 10 people show up every week. So,
all right.
But he does great. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he should be nominated of all the movies I've seen so far. He should be nominated. I don't think he should win, but he should be nominated for best actor.
Question about First Reformed. Let's say Black Panther was not nominated for Best Picture. Do you think this would have taken its place?
I think First Man would have taken the place of Black Panther.
Really?
But over this.
Okay.
Over this, yeah.
Because
not as what I would think. I think
right.
This is what the Academy would think.
Because I believe First Man got okay reviews. I think First Reformed. Wow, too many firsts. But First Reformed, I believe, got amazing reviews from the critics.
I can see why, but yeah. I think it was just... I don't know. It was. I guess it was worth it to watch once, but you got to be... prepared that it's gonna. It took me okay. So it took me 4 days to finish this.
Jeez.
Because I had to stop because it was too boring.
Yeah.
I had I had to build myself up to watch another 20 minutes and then move on.
So yeah.
And I hate
doing
that.
The right mindset to be in a movie like into this movie.
Yeah. In a way. So this one I'm actually gonna give a low score. This one's gonna be a 6-7 for me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was not entertained aside from Ethan Hawke. So, and then I think the last one, First Man.
First Man, yeah.
Yeah, First Man.
We already talked about it once, so.
So, I give this a 7-3.
Okay.
I think.
On par with Aquaman.
I think this falls directly where it should with the awards. I think sound.
Yeah.
Sound mixing, sound editing, cinematography. Okay, so cinematography for the space scenes. Or the actual,
like, really good.
Like, the actual rocket launches and things like that. That first one where they went up and all you saw was the inside. You didn't even see the outside. Yeah. You didn't see the launch. You just saw the inside of the ship. I thought that was great.
How do you like the scene where he loses control and starts spinning?
With the other co-pilot?
Yeah.
That was cool. That was really cool.
I thought that was a really intense.
Because they didn't, I felt like I was spinning. Because I think what was really key is they didn't show the exterior view from afar, looking as to what actually happens. Because for the longest time, I'm thinking, oh my god, which way is he rolling? Which way is he spinning?
Yeah.
And then, you know, occasionally you'll see the Earth come into view of the window. But those were great. I think it falls directly where it should.
Yeah.
But the rest of the movie. I mean, whatever. It's a biography. It's a biography. It's almost a documentary. It falls into that kind of trap where it's a movie about somebody who you clearly know about, but it's still a movie about somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's not original. It's just a rehash of somebody else's life. I'm not saying that I'm not diminishing his life in any way, but I just didn't like it. So sure. That I gave a 7.3. Yep. I think I already told you. Yep. I think it was lower than you guys.
Oh yeah, me and
yeah,
John,
we gave it like nines.
Yeah, right.
You John guys gave really, it an 8.8. I gave it an 8.9.
What made it so good for you guys though?
I liked the story. I liked just how it was presented and stuff, and that whole like plot about him trying to deal with his daughter. I thought that was really good.
It was a whole movie.
Yeah.
I
mean,
no, yeah, I'm just saying.
I just really enjoyed that.
We sat down and Christina started watching. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna watch First Man. It's about Neil Armstrong. All this other yada yada yada. The first 5 minutes, she walked out. She's like, I wasn't prepared for that. Didn't know, and she left. I don't want to watch the rest. So
yeah, that's for
you guys.
I'm
not gonna heavy.
Yeah, it was a little heavy for us. I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know until I saw the movie. Yeah, but I
got upped.
What's that?
I just said you got upped.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But
really the same movie when you think about it.
Sure.
Would you say Buzz is the talking dog?
I was gonna say who's Doug the dog.
I don't know what bothered me. I don't know if this should have bothered me, but they were like Gemini. Instead of Gemini.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but...
I think they did say Gemini.
Is it? Okay. I was taught Gemini, is. But
yeah,
I'm...
we all were.
Yeah, but they were working down in Texas, and I think down there they say Gemini.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. It didn't diminish my review or anything. It's just like a little pain point, you know, for half the movie. This is what they're referring to,
like
until
most
they move
of the
on to
the Gemini Saturns. Missions, and you're like,
or Jupiter rocket, Saturn rockets,
Saturn.
All right. Yeah. So those are it. Right. Well, anyway, you guys saw another one.
We did. John and I watched A Star Is Born. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, and. Sam Elliott, who's up for an Oscar for this film.
Is he really?
He is. It's his first nom in, 50 years? 50?
First one since Prancer?
Yeah. I forgot he was in Prancer. Oh, man, I haven't seen that movie. Anyways, it's about a... country rock musician comes across a girl performing in the middle of nowhere in a bar, like a dive bar almost, and he falls in love, and it's about her journey from being a nobody to being a star and him being by her side the whole time. That's a very generalized plot. Would you not say, John?
I think you knocked that right out of the park, Sean.
Thank you. So... was it? This is the fourth reiteration of this film, too.
Yes. I thought there was only two.
No, there are four.
I thought there was only two. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, my dad kept insisting on, I never even saw the original. And I'm like, well, that wasn't the original. That was, like, the second remake. So.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Was he talking about the Kris Kristofferson and, was it,
Streisand.
Barbara Streisand. I don't know why I
was thinking. Were those nominated for any?
No, that was terrible. That one got horrid reviews.
So let's do this one.
So Bradley Cooper was like, let's do this one.
Like one of them is good. Was that like the Judy Garland one or?
I don't remember.
All right,
with what's his name? I don't know. When I think about it, when I remember it, I'll get back to it.
And the other one was Bette Midler, right?
Was it Bette Midler?
I think the other one was Bette.
Okay. Anyway, John, what was your initial thoughts on this film? I want to hear your thoughts before I go through mine.
Okay. I thought, overall, I mean, you knew exactly where the movie was going, pretty much, like 20 minutes in, even if it wasn't a movie that had been done before. Like, it's just kind of a classic tale.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a fable. I mean, honestly, it's the equivalent of, like, an Oscars version of like a comic book movie, really.
Yeah, very predictable.
So overall, I mean, I thought it's really good. I thought the acting's good. The music was really good, obviously. I mean, that's almost a... It had to be, you know, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, wasn't really feeling Bradley Cooper being, like, unintelligible the whole time. But then you realize, like, he's trying to do a Sam Elliott thing. But yeah. Then you're still like, yeah, but I understand what Sam Elliott's saying. So, like...
Well, he's also... So, being an alcoholic, it does slur your speech and whatnot. So, I mean...
Right. And he's very much, like... I mean, he's, like, snorting pills and, like, you know, he's like, fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is he snorting pills?
He's you know, drugs and whatnot.
Question.
Yes.
How many times do they play that song that's on the radio all the time?
Not in the movie? Much. I think, like...
What song is that? Shallow?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like... Once, really?
Yeah.
But, like, they kind of half sing it, like, in a parking lot.
Before they actually sing it, yeah.
Okay.
So the whole timeline is, like, they go on this, like, long, like, bender of a date or whatever. And then, like, the next day, he's, like, come to this concert I'm at. And he, like, put it together an arrangement of this random song she had sung, like, three bars of the night before. And it's like, oh, okay. This is totally a real thing. Yeah, I don't know if I really have a lot to say. Like, I thought it was weird. Like, it's like, oh man, who's the dad? It's like, oh, I can't figure it out. And it's like, oh fuck, that's Andrew Dice Clay.
Like, that's crazy.
But weirdly, wasn't like distracting or like whatever. It seemed to actually kind of work.
I didn't realize it was Andrew Dice Clay until well after I like the movie was over, and I was like on the IMDb page, and I was like, wait, who was Andrew Dice Clay playing? I was like, hold on a sec. Wait, that was the dad. Oh my god.
How long is this movie?
2 hours.
2 hours and 15 minutes.
It's oh my god,
shorter than Aquaman.
It sounds way too long though for this topic.
A little bit. I mean,
it focuses more on her journey than his. Because it's her becoming a star. Like,
hence the title.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She is being born.
Yes. She is a star and she is being born.
So she's a bar singer or a bar music writer?
No.
No, she's really just a bartender at a drag club. And then, have, like, music night, and then she performs. But she sings, like, Livia Rose. But, like, Bradley Cooper's just looking for literally any bar, so he ends up at this drag bar.
Yeah.
Which that I was not expecting that whole thing in the beginning.
No.
It's just a very, okay, well, I guess I'm here.
So,
apparently,
all the drag queens in the movie, so they had very little dialogue, but for the most part, Bradley Cooper was just like, improv as much as you can. And they did have some lines actually like written down, but most of them ended up getting scrapped because the drag queens were just so amazing and hilarious. They just kept everything they said in. And trust me, these drag queens are hilarious.
Point to a drag queen who is not hilarious.
That's true.
They're all great.
What? So then it's just a story of her falling in love with this guy, and then him pushing her to become kind of a singer and make her own music.
Yep.
So sounds very Coyote.
She kind of has her own success. And
yeah.
I could explain to you the whole plot, but it's, I mean, I like I said, I liked it, and I don't think telling you the whole plot would even really ruin it or alter anything. Cause,
I feel like I already know the plot.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen this movie, but just by you guys telling
me. It's called Coyote Ugly.
No. Okay. All right.
Just an Oscar worthy.
So I guess my time, to give my thoughts. So I'd like to start off by stating something that I've stated many times on this podcast. I am not entertained by Oscar movies. I don't really like Oscar movies. They bore me, and like that's why it's always a struggle.
And this is the exception.
It's always a struggle. And I remember watching up until...
You were entertained by Black Panther, weren't you?
Black Panther is an Oscar-worthy movie.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Logan is an Oscar-worthy.
So the first 20 minutes, it, up to the like 20 minutes, is the point where they're, she's icing her hand after punching out a cop, which is... You have to see the movie to understand.
I think
and
I get it.
And,
yeah,
and,
I can picture
and that's when that's when she...
And we got to watch this together.
Yeah. But that's the point where she... she starts singing Shallow or whatever to Bradley Cooper for the first time. And I was just like, oh boy, let this movie be over, please. And then she goes to the concert and then she performs Shallows. And for some reason, I was like, yeah, I'm 100% interested in this movie now. I'm 100% invested. I want to see this to the end. I actually really enjoy this movie.
Wait, what?
I don't know how or why, but when they performed, I loved this movie. I don't know why. I'm a little scared, but I love this movie.
Sean, maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
I think it's the drag. The drag queens in the beginning is what he really liked.
For the first 20 minutes, the drag queens were the best part, and that was the only good part. Actually, no, I take that back. The first song that is performed... by Bradley Cooper, it's the opening scene. Like, listening to the song, I was like, oh, I actually kind of like this. Because, like, I hate pop country, but I don't mind true, like, country rock.
Yeah. I've seen some criticism of this, like, not being critical of it, just, you know, writing about it. Where it's like, this guy doesn't, like, exist, like, anymore. Like, there's no, like, actual, like... rock country guy
right
anymore who's on like this level. Like there's no like easily like comparable person, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's all, you know, pop. That,
right.
It would be a pop star or, you know, an R&B, you know, kind of star. But yeah, like I don't know. So the band behind him was that's actually Willie Nelson's son's band. And they helped Bradley Cooper like learn how to play and whatnot, which I thought was pretty cool. Make it look more realistic when he's doing like guitar solos and stuff like that.
It's always better.
Yeah, oh yeah. And another cool thing about the film was that Lady Gaga convinced Bradley Cooper for all the musical scenes for them to do it live. And I have to say it made a difference because there's so many times you see these musicals where it's so obviously dubbed over. And that was her argument, is it looks bad. So she was like, we need to perform these songs live. And they did. And it's pretty cool. The plot is very, you know, you can see where it goes. Alec Baldwin's in it randomly as Alec Baldwin.
It's got to be like a bar manager or a studio manager.
No, he plays himself.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Alec Baldwin as Alec Baldwin.
How many people does
hosting
he punch
Saturday
out?
Saturday Night Live.
He's hosting Saturday Night Live when Lady Gaga's her name's Allie in the I don't know, like it's something about this movie. I
Sean
was just
likes
like,
an Oscar
I
movie.
Really liked this movie.
Sean, you're becoming a man.
Ollie.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, but it was. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, this was a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to give?
Really
numbers?
Like Sam Elliott too.
Sam Elliott's 5 minutes of acting.
So you mentioned that to me earlier, where it's like he's only in it for 5 minutes, and a thought entered my head, like Sam Elliott being in a movie, like the amount of time he spends in the movie is inversely proportional to how good that movie is.
Yeah, like Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski, like 5 seconds.
Prancer.
Really good movie. Prancer, he's in the whole thing.
There you go.
So John, do you want to give this a review? Like a number?
A rating?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a... I'm going to give it an 8.3.
All right. I am going as far as going... I like contemplated this. I'm going.
Oh my god!
I know a 9.1.
What?
I don't give a lot of nines. I think the last 9 went to Shape of Water. So hint, hint. No.
Well, you got to see the rest.
I do. I do. Roma scares me. It's the easiest accessible film, and it just scares me because I'm just.
How
like,
much do you like lesbians?
Oh, I don't think you'll like Roma though. seriously. It's not at all like this one.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that scares me. Although, that's probably going to be the one where, you know, I'm going to see before next week.
The reason why I asked Sean is because that's the favorite.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm tempted to see the favorite, too. I'm probably going to...
It's not bad.
...try seeing that. It's Rachel Weisz's second lesbian movie of 2018. Interesting fact.
So, are we safe to say Green Book is the discussion next week? Just to
We can go Green Book next week.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Green Book. So, did you guys want me to do some news?
Yes.
All right. I just have like two things of news. Piggybacking off of Aquaman. They're both in the DCEU.
Of course.
Yeah. Late breaking news tonight.
Yeah. The first one came out yesterday. We got a really quick teaser of... I had to write it down because I'm never going
to
remember it.
It really was... I hate to say it, but it really was a teaser.
Yeah. It's like 5 seconds long. But it's for the upcoming DCEU film Birds of Prey... and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn as the whole title of the film. Not sure why they needed to do that. Just call it Birds of Prey.
Or how to stop worrying and love the bomb.
So, yeah, right? So, that trailer came out. That comes out this year.
So, I'm in.
I saw it, and I was just like, ugh.
Why?
Okay.
What was one of the better parts of Suicide Squad? It was not... Okay, so it was bad things, but what was not the worst?
Slipknot.
Yeah.
Slipknot. It was. Don't answer that. That's truthfully.
He could climb anything.
All right, what's the best part that came out of Suicide Squad if you are to choose one or two?
Captain Boomerang.
Two. Then choose the second one. That's why I said one or two.
Rick Flag. I was okay with Rick Flag.
Okay. It was Harley Quinn.
It was
everybody
not.
Liked Harley Quinn.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody liked Margot
Robbie. I was
There's
not a fan.
There's one person in the world who thinks. Margot Robbie didn't do a good job. And that's you.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't great.
No, but it was the best part. It was the best part.
I don't know if it was the best part.
That everybody.
I thought Katana was actually better.
Yeah, Katana was pretty good.
I hated Katana.
Like, I just kind of wanted to see where that went.
I watched it a third time, and it was so bad.
You don't like El Diablo being a stereotypical Hispanic guy from, like, L.A., where he beat his wife and was part of a gang and. Ended up killing his family, you know, like all those.
All right. We don't have enough time to rehash Suicide Squad.
We're not rehashing that.
No.
Anyway,
I looked at it. I'm
100% in.
I looked at the like was it Mary Elizabeth Weinstein or whatever Weinstead? She's in it, which I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. One of the villains is Victor Zsasz, which is a great Batman villain. So I was like, okay, he doesn't quite look right. But maybe it's pre-Victor Zsasz, like, starting to kill. Because he's supposed to be literally covered in, like, tally marks. And then Ewan McGregor's in this.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
He's Black Mask.
I'm very much surprised why he's in this.
Because they shot down his Obi-Wan movie.
Yeah, but it's a little late to the game for comic book movies.
No, he's playing a villain, so... Which, if you don't know who Black Mask is, he wears a mask that he carved out of his parents' coffin or casket.
It's black.
How'd you know? Right? So you know, it's just like a skull mask
so
that
this
he wears.
Is 2019?
It's either 2019 or 2020.
It is
coming out almost exactly a year from now. February
7th. 2020.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's got to be 2020 with this.
So that's the first DC news that came out yesterday. The big one that like literally dropped it like not long before we started. This podcast is Batman has been given a release date of 2021. So it's in 2 years. And Ben Affleck has bowed out and is no longer Batman.
Affleck's it.
We all saw it coming, but it's finally confirmed.
Right.
What are the odds that this gets pushed back to 2022?
No, it looks like this is gaining steam.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm
they have a writer. They
I'm
have a
willing
script
to bet money that this is not going to be 2021.
it gives them 2 years to make a Batman movie. You don't need a lot of special effects for a Batman
movie. It took
them
forever to get another Batman after the Dark Knight series trilogy.
No, and they got it pretty quick.
Yeah, like 3 years?
Yeah.
Like, not
was
not
it 3
super
years?
Long. It wasn't long.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
There was long between the Joel Schumacher Batman and Robin and Batman Begins.
These are also the folks who are trying to put out a Flash movie.
Yeah, that is still treading nowhere, which is funny for Flash.
So they want to go with a younger Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Like, actually, not younger, like young Bruce Wayne. So be interesting to see how that goes. Hopefully, maybe his parents won't be dead this time. I don't know.
If they're building out, just if they're building out this universe, why go younger?
Yeah, they already established that Batman is Affleck in, you know, in Suicide Squad, and like, so you're already expanding him into other movies. I mean, the only other thing is Batman.
You could get away with
the only thing I can think of right now.
Yeah,
but the only thing I can think of right now for DC is that Batman 2021. Is in the same universe, because DC's retarded, and they did this, but it could be in the same universe as the Joker movie.
Yeah, I mean, who the hell knows? I don't think it is, though, because they said the Joker is like a one-off, which,
right,
man, that coming out later this year, I mean, I'm just like, I don't even know where I'm at, like, emotionally on that movie anymore. I was, like, so interested to begin with, and now, like, having seen some of it, I'm like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but
what did I tell you?
I'm waiting with bated breath for the trailer, because that will explain it all.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'm like sure like all the, your answer questions are going to be answered with the trailer. For
like
the Joker.
I heard, there's rumors that this isn't even going to be the real Joker.
Right, this is the person who inspires the Joker, kind of thing. Yeah. Rumor mill is going crazy.
Oh, I can't wait for you guys to be disappointed by the Joker movie.
They're doing reshoots right now, and like, there's even rumors where it's like, that's why they're doing reshoots, is because that got out, and they were like, shit, we have to change this.
Okay.
No, internet rumors are fucking dumb.
True, but, you know, it's just something I've heard.
Can we talk about some internet rumors, though?
Yeah, what do you got?
Dark Phoenix is going to be awful.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, what, is this the one where they had, like, 3 test screenings, and every single time they said it was bad?
Yeah.
DOA. That's DOA. I'm curious what's going on with New Mutants. The last I checked, they pushed it back.
Yeah, they just keep pushing it back.
But it wasn't, it's, like, canceled or
currently,
anything.
Well, kind of hard to cancel it when it's done.
Oh, that's right. That was done. That's right. It was done before.
Wasn't it supposed to come out, like, October of last year, and now it's like, just keeps, but that one seems like it's going to be the last Fox X-Men movie.
Hey, if we never release it, we never lose it.
We're just going to sit on it forever.
I'm still so curious what movie they're going to introduce or tease a mutant. I'm curious what will be, or the First Family, but
yeah.
What movie is that going to be?
Yeah.
I'm very curious, because will they be bold enough to do it in Avengers? Probably not, but...
Way too soon.
No, Cap Marvel is way too soon.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't put it past them, but I think Avengers has it like, it's its own separate thing.
If it's in Avengers, it would be like a post-credit scene.
Yeah, definitely. It won't be in the middle.
Right.
It won't be in the middle.
I would say best chance... Well, not best chance, but... You're not going to get anything before, like, the end credits of, like, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Even then, that's Sony.
Yeah, you're not going to get
still
any Sony.
It's still Sony.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
So that's why I said, like, end credits of Endgame is, like, it makes sense if they would put it there, but...
They'd have to, like, that'd have to be, like, done, like, now.
Yeah.
Because like they shot all the Infinity War and Endgame back to back.
But that's the plus side about doing it as a post credit is it's literally a scene that could take a day to film.
Yeah,
it's nothing. So
yeah, but it's, I don't know. Deadpool's in limbo right now. You want to hit Ryan Reynolds with a Deadpool 3.
I think
3
Deadpool
now.
3 is happening, but X-Force is dead.
It should be.
Rob Liefeld or whatever the creator said It's basically done. Yeah, it's not happening.
See what you get with Deadpool again. So, see what you get with the writers for Disney for Deadpool. I'm sorry, we're doing this whole Disney. We gotta.
All right, can I one last thing though? Just because.
Yeah.
So like, what's the Marvel movies for next year right now? Because Guardians 3.
Yeah, that was taken.
I'm looking
off
at Kevin Feige's producer credits here. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but that's like on hold pretty much.
Mm. It looks like it's not happening. Because like even Bautista was like, if James Gunn's not on it, I'm not on it. And like I think even if you look at Vin Diesel's credits, like acting credits, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 isn't even on there on IMDb.
I'd guess, and they're holding up announcements for further movies until after
Endgame.
Yeah. I think the next one in line would probably be Strange 2. I think that would be the next one in line would be Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, well, Doctor Strange 2 and Black Panther 2 are listed here as announced, though no dates given. But there are like three untitled Marvel projects for next year, 2020. So, and,
yeah, I'd say Doctor Strange 2. It will probably be closest. And then Guardians 3.
Oh, Black Widow here is too. Actually, Black Widow's on here as pre-production, so I would guess that Black Widow would be.
Oh, The Eternals might be one of the movies coming out. I'm looking at like an article that came out beginning of December. Black Widow might be coming out in 2020, because they did denounce that movie.
I think they're not going to do anything until after Endgame.
Oh, Morbius, that's right.
Not to mention the Disney app.
Yeah.
With their whatever they're doing.
Yeah, but
Morbius, because they announced, was it Jared Leto being Morbius? Casting him as Morbius for a Morbius movie. So that's probably going to come
out. Can we stop giving him roles?
I agree.
Can we just stop? I mean, Blade Runner was a train wreck. Well, no, I don't want to say that, because it's going to piss off John.
Yeah, no. Was it Jared Leto's fault that you didn't like it, Chris?
No. Honestly, I didn't put the blame.
There's plenty of things to hate about Jared Leto. Don't pick a movie that he like barely did anything in.
Like he was not great in that movie.
No, but he was there for. He was literally his whole scene. You could cut out, and you would never.
Yeah,
even
his
know
character was just creepy. Like, but not in a good way.
If you're going to be angry with him, be angry at his Joker.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Let's just all agree on that. It's all a giant scam anyway. Yeah. Speaking of scams.
Yes! He nailed it. Nailed the segue.
Yeah, go ahead.
We don't have anything else left in news, right?
Nope. That's it. Now, let's hop right into...
We would have bowed out anyway. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Just go with it.
All right, so... I guess our main event for tonight. For those of you who don't know, this occurred in 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, so there was a music festival in the Bahamas called the Fyre Festival. And, you know, pretty much overpromised all this stuff. They had, you know, promotional videos with, like, supermodels and stuff. Had all these big-name people like Kanye and
influencers, John. Influencers.
Right. Sorry, influencers. Anyway, so that kind of all went to shit, and it was great because all these people were so like tapped into social media that it was all everywhere. Like the coverage was sort of the firsthand stuff was great. The most notable one was a picture of the gourmet food, which was like the weirdest looking cheese sandwich you've ever seen, and. Note there that I didn't have say grilled cheese, like literally just like a like lettuce and cheese on a bread, maybe with mustard. I don't know. Anyway, so all that happened, 18 months ago. But funny enough, Netflix had a documentary in production that was slated to be released. I think at this point, what was that? 2 weeks ago,
January 18th, I think. So
that was last Friday, I guess.
No, 2 weeks. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So that was slated to come out. That had been long, long sort of announced and everything. But the Monday before that, Hulu drops a documentary of their own. Sort of like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything else that's ever happened that's sort of like that. or just pretty much being like, hey, you know what? We're just going to do our own and not even tell you. And then just like try to scoop up all your thunder before it happens.
I literally thought both, by the way, were the same at first. Because I'm on Hulu a lot and I'm on Netflix a lot. And like I remembered seeing it on Netflix and then I log into Hulu. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, that must be the same documentary, like, obviously.
Right. No, and that's not, like, super crazy to see something on two streaming platforms. It's, like, a little rare, but it's not, like, you know...
Well, they're kind of released at the same time.
Unheard.
Right, right, that's what I thought.
And one of them, so I guess do a bit of an introduction here. The Netflix, which I think we're just going to refer to them as Netflix and Hulu, pretty much, but the Netflix documentary is called Fire. It's done by this guy who's done some documentary stuff before. I think he'd kind of gotten some acclaim for it. So, like a guy who's like actually like legit, which is really all I really need to explain about
it. His name is Chris Smith.
Chris Smith. Couldn't tell you what else he's done, but I've heard good things.
It's totally anyway. A fake name.
Right, it really is.
And really, the difference between the two is... I mean, they both obviously tell the same story. They have both have a little bit of a different twist to it. But the Netflix one, part of the difference is that it was produced in part by Jerry Media. Oh my God. Even just talking about this is fucking stupid. the main company for the Fuck Jerry Instagram feed, which... I mean, I hope you're not familiar with, but if you are, you know,
I'm sorry.
You know what it is. And, you know, getting a little bit of criticism for that because they were very complicit in, or at the very least, they helped promote the whole event. So, you know, that's kind of an issue. Then on the other end, the Hulu doc actually talks to Billy McFarland, who is the sort of mastermind behind this everything behind you know the Fire Festival, him and Ja Rule.
Yes, Ja Rule is involved.
I think I texted you guys when I was watching this, right? Did I text you guys? I was so excited that friends of Ja Rule call him Ja.
Yeah.
I was so happy
like,
about
very
that.
Casually, it's like, so Ja was telling us all, I'm like, oh my God.
So Rule's his family name, huh?
And isn't it Ja Rule because awesome. It's like his initials are J-A or something like that?
I don't know. I have no idea, nor do I care.
Anyway, the other thing with the Hulu, like I said, they interview the guy behind it all who's this awful scamster and fraudster very easily. You know, I mean, he tells lies that they pretty much call him out on, you know, contemporaneously in the documentary. And he's like doesn't really have an explanation for it. But... they've gotten a little flack because I guess they paid him to make the appearance. How much, you know, God only knows. I personally doubt it was, like, a lot. Like, he told – so he used it as leverage against the Netflix guys. They're like, hey, they paid me $250,000. If you pay me that, I'll go on your thing. I doubt they paid him anything near that.
Yeah.
Oh, based on this documentary? Yeah.
Based on, like, how much I've learned about this guy.
I doubt they even paid him.
Yeah, like, I'm sure the dude is looking for money, and if they told him they'd pay him, like, 10 grand, he'd do it. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, let's... I don't know what the best way to do, because it's obviously a bunch of compare, contrast, and all that.
We'll just go around. What did you like more Netflix or Hulu?
I got better. Which one did you watch first?
Hulu.
You watched the Hulu, Sam?
I saw Hulu.
John?
I also saw Hulu.
I also saw Hulu first. This is odd.
So the Hulu one, after watching the Netflix one.
Yeah.
I liked the Netflix one a lot better because mm-hmm. you saw how everything just affected other people.
Yeah.
So the Hulu one was more like the overall story, how it originally happened, who this guy is, and what he kind
of
was.
It focused on Billy. Both of them do. But the Hulu one focused on Billy and then branched out to the little people that it affected. Like,
yeah, but
know.
It was mostly coworkers, right, personal
that's what I mean.
Friends.
Like, people that, like, the little people who that, like, there was the Fuck Jerry guy who, and, like, this was his first gig. With Fuck Jerry and
yeah,
like,
but it was
yeah no, but and then you have the Netflix one focused more on everyone involved. Like you saw the project manager.
But everybody and, also affected by this guy. Because the Netflix one was more of an American Greed.
Okay.
Because it showed you the victims pretty much.
Yeah.
Instead of why this guy is the way he is.
See, I like the Hulu one more, just because the Netflix one, it felt so apologetic.
Mm.
It felt like they were like, we were trying to do something, you know, great, and it just fell apart. And really, it's just all Billy's fault. It's none of our fault.
Yeah.
No, it's just Billy. Yeah. And it's like, it felt so like they were just trying to cover their ass.
Yeah, but to that point, though, you watch the first one on Hulu, and you're like, all right, well, this guy is definitely a con artist. It really is. But it wasn't. And he scammed people out of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. But they kind of glossed over that. It they didn't hit home. Like
really?
This.
I thought the Netflix one really glossed over that.
Yeah. No, the Netflix one, I felt more.
Like the whole point of the Hulu documentary is this guy's a scam artist.
Yes. No. Because I agree. But the Netflix one made it more tangible for me because these are the people who were truly, truly affected by this. Like this guy had people go into his house because he couldn't pay them and he left the island.
Yeah.
Like, because this guy couldn't pay money. And then it's hundreds of millions of dollars I don't know how much it was total.
I personally like the Hulu one a lot more because you get to understand Billy a lot better because you're hearing it from him and you're seeing him talk about it. And I like that because it's his voice is not like people saying, well, he said this. Like, he was admitting to all this. But the thing that I like the most about it.
He didn't admit to anything.
I know he did, but the best part about the whole thing with him is when the person asking the questions was like, have you lied to us at all? And he was like, no. And then they went through everything he said in that interview that he lied about. And they highlighted everything. And that's when he was like, I need to take five. And then
and then he left.
So it was kind of like that hit home more than anything else where like you can see this guy and he's like, oh, I wanted what was best. You know, I was doing everything I possibly could. And it was that moment when you realize this guy is truly a scam artist and is like, he doesn't care.
You thought that was the point?
I mean,
he's
like a sociopath.
Yeah. It was a sociopathic.
You thought that was the point where he was a scam artist?
Because up until then.
His whole credit card thing was a scam.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, that was way before the Fyre Festival.
But that can be chalked up to he's getting over his head and he's kind of like trying to find money where money doesn't exist and he's trying to do everything he possibly can to keep that company as a float, though he's doing it in horrible ways. It wasn't until he was like, yeah, no, like when they're like, well, you know, you said you had like $4 billion invested in the credit card company when you in fact only had like 4.5 million, and it's like, oh yeah, well, and it's like they just kept throwing the facts out there of like, you've lied to us to our face right now about all this stuff. And
like, I like how he said he had like $2 million of Facebook stock. And it was like $1,800.
Yeah, it was like nothing.
No, it was less than that.
It's like 5 shares.
Yeah. $1,400.
Yeah, it was. He's basically broke, but he's living that kind of lifestyle.
Just trying to get that bread, man.
Yeah, but I think what I liked about the Netflix one is it showed more of the behind the scenes, I guess, of the festival actually being created, like on the island. Like, you got a better understanding.
The Netflix
of,
one did focus solely on the Fyre Festival, and then the after scam, whatever you try to pull.
Because it was like there was the promotion video where that was the first party, the first Fyre Festival, as they put it, where with him and all the models and stuff, and they're just on the islands doing whatnot, and So, like, I liked them talking about all that where Billy was just like, the more the better, like, just keep filming. But the Netflix one glosses over and really doesn't talk about his, like, number two guy. I forget what the guy's name is.
Yeah, they didn't.
They barely
who writes, like, a 1,000-word email about the music
score.
For the promo.
Yeah.
The promo.
Yeah. Like, they barely touched on him. And I thought he was a very interesting character because he was so controlling and so insane that, he was also at fault with this. But I like how they were like, just don't stop filming. Film everything.
Yeah. And then that was the craziest part. Like, honestly, of everything about the whole the two documentaries, the craziest thing to me is that they're frequently filming literally everything that's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop when the festival stops.
Yeah.
Like, post-jail, like, he's being investigated and sued for
fraud. He's on, he's on parole or bond.
Yeah. Like, when he's out on bail and he invites the filmmaker back, it was like, I want you to film all of this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And then he proceeds
he's committing email fraud.
Yeah.
He's like, so, we're going to do fraud, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you got that, right? Do you want me to do another take? Or, all right.
Do you want me to spell it out for you? F-L-R? Yeah. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Yeah, call if
here's
phone,
the script.
If their phone goes through, call them a second time. They always pick up on the second time. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And he's like, we're going to do this now. I'll write you up a script. We'll do that. It's like, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, why would you literally film all of your illegal doings?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the only thing that, like, has got me, like, a little bit, like, of a stay woke kind of thing is, like, with the Netflix one, it's produced kind of by the same guys. So, like, maybe they got access to all that video because, like, I don't know. Like, they're in some ways complicit and they're, like, hey, you know, if this thing goes tits up, we'll make a fucking great documentary or something like that.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think there's like a shitload of money in it, so it's like kind of a weird thing, but it's, I don't know, it just seems like too convenient that like
all
the
that
Netflix
was filmed.
One was the one that had all the behind the scenes stuff where like
they're
filming constantly things that no one in their right mind would suggest have cameras.
That thing at the end where the one guy from Fuck Jerry that they were talking to, the guy who doesn't work there anymore, and the Hulu one, at the end when they're like, they read off the statement they got from Fuck Jerry, basically calling that guy out, but he doesn't work for us, he doesn't know anything about this.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really suspicious.
Yeah.
I think after the festival, though, every employee was recording everything that they did.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to cover their ass. Which is, I mean, it's a smart move.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, justifiably so. I mean,
yeah, it really did. And I'm sure that a lot of those careers got screwed because of this. So, yeah, I forget what the guy who was booking the stuff. It was like his first day.
Oh, yeah.
And he's booking all this stuff, and it's like the day before the stage isn't set or something. He got some note or something, and then he just said, look, I told everybody not to come.
Yeah.
Like, Blink 182 canceled or whoever it was.
Yeah, they were the first one
to cancel. Something happened, like they had no places to stay, and then he got wind of it, and he just told the bands, don't come.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was at anybody's discretion. He goes, yeah, I just told them not to show up.
Yeah.
Because I know that he was thinking, like, yeah, this is my career.
Yeah.
And if I tell them to show up and they show up and nothing's there for them, I'm screwed. So it's kind of saving face at that point.
Speaking of people's careers now, let's take a moment. Probably, the most memorable part of the Netflix one? The guy who pretty much admits that he was ready to go blow a customs agent to get a bunch of water.
Andy King, the event production, like head of production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to, you know, what's the word, Sean? Kink shame or whatever. I'm not here to do that. I'm just talking about from a personal brand sort of thing. Like, what in God's name would you ever tell anybody about that?
It shows like, dedication.
Why? It showed, like, I understand why. Well, he's gay, openly gay to begin with, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah, I mean, right.
But I think he said that more or less basically to stress how desperate they were in the last,
but, like
couple
also
days.
How, like, enamored with Billy he was.
Yeah, because Billy it was Billy who said, can you go blow this guy for me?
Yeah, we need you to suck some dick for
us. So that's just Billy, like, realistically, you know, if Billy was accountable for anything, Billy would be there negotiating with this guy to get the water released.
It just baffles me how these guys are music event producers, and...
But that's the thing.
They weren't.
they
have this guy who's trying to start this thing for 6 months, and they realize it's never going to happen, but they don't. The one guy who I don't know if it was Netflix or Hulu, I think it was Netflix, who's like, oh yeah, we'll have houses, but we'll have everybody sleep on the boat. Oh yeah, it has like pilot? Sanitation. Yeah,
the
and everything. Pilot
that was Netflix. That was the
was
Netflix.
It Netflix? Yeah. I'm like yeah. This the guy.
Pilot Microsoft Simulator. Yeah.
He taught himself on Microsoft Simulator how to fly.
And this, I don't think this is not, the only guy who's like speaking sense in this room.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
The guy who taught himself to fly.
It's the guy who makes the most sense.
He's like we have an island. We're laying out toilet systems, and I'm like. I want him. Yeah. I want that guy to play this whole thing. This guy makes
sense. And then
he's like, all right, we have the cruise ship. Everybody's the biggest problem is getting drunk people from the island to the cruise ship, which is entirely true.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, this is where the guy's head is at. I like what this guy's thinking.
But that's when the right-hand man of Billy was like, oh, no, we nixed that. It's like that's how little communication there was with everybody.
Yeah. And then he ends up getting fired.
Yeah, and then he got fired. And then he got fired.
Because he was being too negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just baffles me why these other guys stuck it to the end. Like this producer guy who was getting the water from customs.
Yeah,
he clearly knew that none of this was ready.
Yeah,
and he still went on with it anyway.
It's one of those things where you're just in so deep.
You know what I'm thinking about it now. Like the difference between Hulu and Netflix feels like the Netflix one was all the believers till the end. We're in that one.
Yes.
Whereas the Hulu were the people who, like, even early on were like, this is fucked up and it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, the Hulu one, you had a lot of, like, when they first introduced Ja Rule, and there's that girl who worked for, was it Magnesis or whatever? And she was like, yeah, he did nothing in the company.
Yeah.
Like, he held no specific, you know, title.
No, but, you knew that. I mean, Netflix one made that point too.
Not really. They didn't have anybody say that he did nothing.
Oh well. Yeah. Sorry, but
also kind of crazy that Ja Rule of all people comes off as a total scumbag.
Yeah.
Like saying that it's not fraud; it's false advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
in the meeting afterwards, like the crisis meeting.
The crisis
He's
meeting.
He's like, we're going to save this and spin it this way.
Yeah, we can spin this, guys.
And then you have the like lead tech lady on the phone. He's like, no, all this is dead. Yeah. We're shutting it down.
Like, we're shutting it down. But you also have Billy like, that's fine. Guys, Firefest 2. Let's focus on Firefest 2, guys. Like,
that only really came up in...
the Netflix one.
No, the Hulu one.
Oh, the Hulu one.
The Hulu one.
Second. They're really talking more about the NYVIP or whatever. The like, we're gonna sell you tickets to an event that doesn't actually give out tickets.
Yeah, it was the Met Gala,
Victoria's Secret fashion show. Because there was the guy who's like, yeah, if they sold tickets, you better believe I would have tried to buy those tickets.
Yeah.
But they don't.
I'm just curious, guys, because what I thought probably the biggest difference from like a big picture standpoint of the two. Is that while Netflix is pretty much singularly about, you know, the whole scam and just how, like you said, Sam, like how dedicated and people can keep on pressing towards a goal they know is going to be impossible to complete. Whereas I think what Hulu does is it takes this kind of like step back and sort of like while looking at, hey, look how ludicrous this whole festival is. Like, look at the, you know, Instagram kind of culture that enables it of all these, like, influencers and shit like that. What did you guys think of that? Because I thought, like, it was trying to connect, like, the big dots. And I've seen some people who are like, that wasn't that well done. And I don't totally disagree, but I feel like that's a real thing.
Mm.
Like, this sort of thing doesn't happen. Like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that you're absolutely right. And I do think that they do have a point. I don't think any of it's going to change because the people, the quote unquote lawmakers are the people who would have taken action against these people for false advertising.
Yeah.
Are too old. They're like, obviously Congress lawyers. They're too old to really care or know about social media. And then the people who are young utilize it all the time, and they're like, eh, whatever. It is what it is.
Mm.
But I think Hulu... I'm siding with Hulu on that. Like, why isn't Kendall Jenner punished? Why isn't
Yeah.
Emily Ratajkowski, whatever it is. Why aren't they punished for this? Because clearly like, they just promoted something.
The point that like the Netflix documentary makes is a good one, which is like, how are they supposed to know? But yeah. At the same time, it's like you kind of sit there and be like, yeah, but you must have known something.
I mean, Netflix brings it up at the end that you do see it nowadays. They're pushing for, I don't know if it's legislation, but or just companies are pushing for it where
they know the product that they're actually promoting.
Well, no, that they have to
say this
is an advertisement. They have to disclose that that's what
they got paid.
Oh, okay,
yeah, okay. Which I completely think needs to happen
because that changes sense. People's thoughts,
right?
If you're like, okay, you got paid,
yeah, because this, a lot of people when they saw that orange splotch, they were like, these people are going, so I have to go.
Yeah,
yeah, like the whole Kanye thing was because Caitlyn Jenner posted it, and then people just assumed Kanye was going to be there,
right? Because he was like in a picture with her, and
Kendall,
she was like,
Jenner.
Yeah, it's Kendall, not Caitlyn.
Whatever, one of them.
One of them
doesn't matter. One of those people.
Well, Caitlyn Jenner is very different from Kendall.
That's true.
Honestly,
no, it's very, matter. Very different.
I don't really care.
One of them used to be
Bruce.
I can't say his death name.
Oh, but. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, my bad. My bad.
Slurring him. Sorry.
Sorry. All right, sorry.
We're gonna get off this. So,
what?
Yeah, I think if you boil it down, I really can't pick like a horse in the race. I think the Netflix one is probably just generally more entertaining and better done.
I feel it's more shock value than the Hulu. Yeah, one. Hulu's a lot of like facts thrown at you, whereas Netflix is like he was gonna blow a guy and like. Stuff like that.
And they get the goods. Like, the whole behind-the-scenes footage is just, like, incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it really just does speak for themselves. Oh, and then, like Chuck Schumer's, like, press secretary just shows up and starts hanging around with Billy, and it's like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. And then he, like, released, and he's like, yeah, don't put me in the movie, and yet they put him in the movie.
Yeah, that was good. I do like one point that they made during this film is... You have all these high-end influencers that were paid to promote this thing, and it all this money and all these people completely built up this festival into something that it wasn't, and it took one Joe Schmo to post the picture of the cheese sandwich to destroy the whole thing, because everybody remembers that picture.
Yeah. Frankly, I had no idea this actually happened.
Really? Oh, it was every
2 years ago.
I remember.
No idea.
I remembered it happened because I remember seeing the cheese sandwich and then laughing, reading how people spent like $20,000 to get stuck on an island.
See, I bet you I didn't even read it because it's probably like Caitlyn Jenner, one of the Jenners promote this, or the models promote it, or whatever. It's like an orange thing.
I didn't even know they were a part of it.
It's like a rave on an island. Yeah. And whatever. It's just a lot of things that probably in the title of the articles are not.
Most
I'm
of what I saw was like, haha, let's laugh at the rich white kids. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to click on that after watching that now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hysterical. Yeah,
laughing at a rich white
millennial. The people that I feel bad about were the people who like quit their jobs to do this. And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
No, see, yeah. the
people
that's
what the Netflix one, I think, was like a little bit more powerful at the end. Because they actually like talk to like that lady who runs the bar or works at the bar or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, yeah, and like, you know, oh, they like left without paying like a $20,000 bill or something like that.
Yeah.
And
it's like leave. Oh
my, that's
just walking away from this. I was like, I do not feel bad for the people who showed up there.
No,
it's like you're a bunch of like rich entitled assholes.
Yeah,
but the people I feel bad for are the people who worked for this.
Yeah, the people who
didn't end up getting paid.
Yeah, that was
$100,000
left.
The upper echelon people, but like say like the Bohemian I think is the proper word, the workers,
yeah,
like the people
they really got fucked.
They got fucked.
Like it was like $100,000 that they didn't get paid, and that's
I think it was more than that.
I
think it was more than that.
No, they mentioned
the bar said she paid $50,000 out of her own money, like which was her savings to pay her employees because she works with them on a daily basis.
But no, I They mentioned it. Like I thought it was like $100,000.
I think it was more
in unpaid
wages. It was a lot. $100,000, and especially like $100,000 in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And that's more than their. That's less than their duty tax for the bottle of water that they're taking.
Right.
Yeah.
What was it? Somebody ordered $1 million worth of booze to go to this island, but they didn't realize it's like a 37% import tax on it.
Yeah.
So you're paying $1.4 million for booze.
Oh, yeah, that was in the Hulu one.
It in the Hulu? Yeah. I'm just like, the math is ridiculous. And,
One, I don't know if you guys mentioned it, but the fact that they picked the busiest weekend.
It's like boat week.
It's like
which in the bigger island than
Christmas. Yeah. It's the biggest holiday of the entire year. It's the
Super Bowl of the Bahamas. And they're like, we'll do it then.
Yeah.
Not to mention, they advertised the island having their own island, but it was part of a bigger island.
They advertised that they had, I think Netflix talks about
Netflix
it.
One where
so they had an island set up. A remote island, and the person who was selling them the island was like, do not, under any circumstance, mention Pablo Escobar. And in the promotion video, they're like, an island previously owned by Pablo Escobar. And that's when the person was like, and you're not getting the island. So that's when they're like, what do we do? So, yeah. But the other thing going with like the I don't care about the people who went because they're a bunch of rich assholes. Was when Billy's up on the stand and he's like, just find a tent. First come, first serve. And they all start going
and
towards
the Asian guy.
Yeah.
It's like, we just like pissed and like ripped up all the tents around
Us. Lit them on fire so we wouldn't have neighbors. It's like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah, some lady was like sitting on a crate of toilet paper.
Yeah, hoarding toilet paper so nobody else could have it. Like
what the fuck is wrong with these people?
Well, I mean, you're stuck you're stuck there for 3 days or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd go full Lord of Flies in like 1 hour.
I was waiting in line for an hour. Kill the fat people!
Remember, they showed up at 6 a.m. They were drinking at that bar all day. And then at night, they're
but
just
not
like...
even all of them. It was just the first couple planes.
Yeah.
It was just the first few people.
Right, because they were just like, don't bring anybody else. All right, so, you know... We can talk about this for hours.
Yeah.
It still won't even scratch the surface. Like, there's just fantastic stories that we just haven't even talked about. Like how, like, Billy, to, like, calm himself down, like, people would give him this, like, awful news how this thing isn't coming together and it's never going to happen. So he would just, like, go out on, like, what was it, like, an ATV or a jet ski and just go, like, really fast for, like, 10 minutes, then come back and then, like, be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Like,
You know who I really felt bad for, though, in the end of the Hulu one is Billy's current girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Because they come up, they're like, you realize he's using you. And that she, like, you saw it in her eyes, like, she realized it. But she's like, she's so into this relationship. Like, it's like Stockholm
syndrome.
He's
a compulsive liar, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, where she's like, I didn't even know about all this.
Yeah.
You find somebody gullible enough, they'll stick with it. Because,
He was living that lifestyle, and they're like, who pays for it? She's like, I do. I'm like, I feel bad for you now because you just realized it.
It was great in both documentaries how Billy calls, calls and texts in the middle of it.
Oh man,
I don't know if that was from jail or if it was just randomly.
It was probably before he went to jail.
Okay,
but I like the guy from the bartender from the Hulu one where they were like, hey. We want to put this music festival together. Do you think we could do it? And he's like, no. No, we can't. And then they left and then came back and they were like, here's a ton of money. Now can we do it? And he's like, no, it's not happening.
I can't wait until American Greed does their episode for this.
Oh, I can't wait. It's such an interesting story. And I don't know if we've stated it once, but... If you're interested in this at all, you got to watch both of them, honestly. Like, they complement each other. It's kind of like almost like two sides of the coin, but not quite.
Yeah. After watching the Netflix one, I hated Billy a lot more than the Hulu one.
Yeah. It. Yeah. And
it's not as if you know, like I said, the Hulu one's gotten shit for paying him. They don't portray him as, you know, good or sympathetic in any shape or form. Like, it's not as if, you know, they brought him on to get his side. His, like
they,
you know,
literally call him out for his lies.
Yeah.
Like, right.
They really just dunk on him.
Yeah. So, like...
Yeah, but... You don't feel the... I never, I guess, saw the real effect that he had on a lot of these people, except for a few coworkers or whatever it was. Until the Hulu
Netflix one. The effect on the people closest to him. That's the key. The Netflix one. Those are the people closest to him, minus his right-hand man, which I don't know why Netflix glosses over him. Because he's so interesting. Because
One of the more interesting
guys. I bet you they had a bunch of stuff that the flow just of the movie probably. Editing, they probably just cut it out.
But it's such a shame because, I mean, yeah, Billy's in trouble with a lot of this, but, I mean, that guy was in a thick of it.
Plus there was a bunch of people in the thick of this thing.
But, like, he was pushing for everything.
It was not just
him. And, like, Ja Rule just walks away.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, now he's starting, like, the same exact app thing that they were working on.
Yeah.
Just under a different name.
Yeah. Although, a good idea.
The app is a genuinely good idea.
Yes.
Whether or not celebrities actually do it, who knows?
But once you get one booking
a celebrity, for some people, that is probably feasible.
That was the way they described it made perfect sense to me. I mean, it's nothing I would ever use, but it just makes sense that it's like, why don't you go to a central hub and hire a person, like, deal with them rather than deal with their, because what Billy explained it, like, he talked to a guy and he was like, oh yeah, for like $5,000, I'll get you Ja Rule. And he was like, okay. And then he came back with like his cousin and his cousin was like, yeah, for $100,000, I'll get you Ja Rule. And so he paid him. And then Ja Rule finally showed up.
Yeah, it's...
So, like, it just makes sense. Just go to the person, and, like, an app like that, just, it makes sense for, like, you know, the high-end society. It, like...
Well. I mean, I hate to say, but bravo to both of them.
Yeah, no.
Because I honestly had no idea this shit actually went down. Yeah. I had no idea until I saw it.
I think both documentaries were great, and you need to check them both out.
Any final thoughts, John?
I mean, you see things like the Manson family and cults and stuff, and you're like, that can never happen. Like, you know, like, real people don't do this. And it's like, that's really kind of, like, indistinguishable from this in a way. Like, you know, all the Netflix people, they're like, yeah, you know, we all believed in Billy. We thought he was going to pull it out or whatever. When, like, very obviously none of this was ever going to happen, but you just, you know, you put people under duress and, like, incredible things can happen.
Yeah.
It's just kind of crazy. Yeah, I said, I would highly recommend watching both. They're both 90 minutes-ish, so it's not as if, you know, 3 hours. There's plenty of stuff for 3 hours. Like I said, there's, like, boundless amounts of stories. Like, they go all the way back to when, like, Billy's in, like, college.
Oh, they, like, go all the way back to elementary school with the crayons.
Right. Well, they talk about this, like, thing that he was pushing, this, like, shitty app that doesn't even work in the presentation, and then he decides, like, okay, I'm going to just drop out of college. So, the whole thing's crazy, but I'd recommend it. It's a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, those are both available on Netflix and Hulu currently. And so next week,
we're going to try for, was it Green Book and or The Favorite?
Green Book and or The Favorite for Oscars. And then we could probably come up with something else as well.
Yeah, well, we'll figure something out.
I'm sure there's a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Ryan did tell me about the Netflix movie with, I forget his face. But
Mads Mikkelsen, did he watch Frost?
Is it Frost? It's
Snow?
I don't know. It's something weird. He goes, it's a 4.
Yeah, oh, if we do want to do that, I'm 100% down because I was on IMDb and I was like, how did the scores get? And it's like a 30. Or no, I think it's an 18 Metascore. I was like, oh boy. But the fan score is like a 70. So I was one of those.
Ryan said he would never watch it again. Right. So I don't know.
I might give it a shot. I really might.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we'll do those couple movies next week. So if you like all of our episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher, all the previous ones. I'm sorry. There we go. My bad. I'm sorry. Send us messages on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsofNerdtude. Also, we are on Metacritic now, and we will be doing quick movie reviews. Probably going to backfill a couple.
Yeah, we can
recently, and then we'll start doing more recent ones.
Yeah, so. Go recent.
Yeah. So that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Can't believe it.